Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I'm bad.
Amazing why. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you for being here. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure. And you're going to be glad you did, because our good buddy Giovanni Cortolo is back on the show. Giovanni is Director of Small Business Policy at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. He's a longtime member of our Brain Trust. I don't know anybody who works harder on Capitol Hill on behalf of you and me, folks, making sure that you and I are keep informed about what the government is doing for us, but mostly to us. And whatever he can, as much as he can, prevent some of the stuff that they're doing to us from happening. And so he's our good friend. Giovanni, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to be back, and thank goodness for you. I tell you, anytime I want to get a little inspiration, I tune into your show. So thank you for all you're doing.
I appreciate it, Giovanni. Let's first talk about some of the recent events in the presidential election cycle. In the last 24 hours, Senator Obama basically acquired the delegates necessary for the nomination for the Democrats, didn't he?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's amazing, and I think some of the viewers look at politics as static, but we can only remember 5 months ago, Hillary was measuring the drapes in the White House, and McCain was packing his bags going back to Arizona.
Right.
So we're really at the midway point. We have 5 months to go before the election. A lot can happen. And small businesses... Go ahead.
A couple of years ago, Steve Forbes on this show reminded us that when Chamberlain was about to become, you know, was running for a re-election, I think it was 1940 or something, as for Prime Minister of England, you know, one of his aides says, "Sir, what do you think is going to determine the results of the next election?" He said, "Events, my dear boy, events."
So I think
whether Obama maintains his apparent nomination as the Democrat presidential candidate, events might have something to do with that. And I think that's what Hillary's hoping for, isn't it?
Well, certainly, and I think small businesses really have to drill down in all the candidates. The chamber does not take a position in the presidential elections, but small businesses have to be involved. Anything that happens during these elections is going to impact them, and they have to have a voice in what's going to happen.
Yeah. Absolutely, no question about it. Of course, McCain is the nominee for the Republicans. It'll be official. He's the apparent nominee, the presumptive nominee, and he'll be officially nominated during their convention, the Republican convention. But now Hillary has refused. Senator Clinton has refused. So far, at least as of right now, she's refused to concede, hasn't she?
Yeah, and you know, you really have to drill down and see exactly some of the motives. I think, quite frankly, Hillary.
You mean besides narcissism?
Yeah. Well, politicians in general tend to be very egotistical, and Hillary's looking at it from the point of view, how can I make the best position out of where I am now?
Now it's just jockeying for position now.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And you know, you think about it, if Obama does win, Hillary, you know, and presuming Obama takes on a fairly substantial vice president, Hillary can just write off the presidency, because it could be close to 12 years before she was even considered again. If Obama loses and McCain wins, she's set up perfectly for the next 4 years. So,
right, exactly.
You see that dynamic playing out, and then
which is the conundrum she has about whether to even think about being vice president or not, right?
Oh, absolutely. She's too young to be the Senate Majority Leader as far as seniority. There's always Governor of New York. So, I mean, where's when you have these very ambitious politicians? What's the next step? And that's always been in play, and certainly. One that we will follow, and it'll be an exciting 5 months that we'll see develop here.
I have actually been encouraging her, you know, not that she listens to me, but I've encouraged her on my show, and have understood why she would not drop out. It is a close election. This race has been very close, and even though he's had a lot of momentum, she's had some arguments for staying in. But now that he has the number of nominees, the number of delegates that he needs, at this point in time, it's starting to look like she's just being, every day that she goes without getting out, she's just being, a troublemaker. And so that's not going to be good for her. 20 till the hour, we're going to be right back with Giovanni Curatola. We're going to talk about what this election is going to be looking like in the future. Stay with us. The Who, ladies and gentlemen, from the rock opera Tommy, Pinball Wizard.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, a small business advocate, and we're talking about small business public policy with our good friend Giovanni Curatola, the director of small business policy at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And my websites, by the way, folks, are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. Both of them are there for you, information that will help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And it's all free. No barriers to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in, use our stuff, hang out with us. Giovanni Curatola is, as I say, is our guest and our good friend. Giovanni, As the year progresses, as the election cycle progresses, I'm going to want you to come back more and more and keep us posted on how things are going, and help us compare and contrast the two nominees and how they will operate. But there's some really important things going on right now with the that I really want to talk about today, and that is what's happening in the Senate even as we speak. The Senate is debating the cap and trade bill, the Lieberman-Warner bill. Now, the House has already passed it, right?
Actually, the House has not passed it.
Okay, good. That's good
Senate
news.
The Senate's dealing with it. And,
is the Senate taking it up first, or is the House doing it?
Okay. Yeah, Senate, so Lieberman-Warner Climate Security Act, 3036, it's with the Boxer Amendment, and it looks like we're very hopeful that we're not going to get passage this year. It's basically being discussed as a setup within the election, but for your viewers, cap and trade is something that we really have to be careful about, and I can explain what cap and trade is if you'd like.
I will want you to. Folks, the thing about it is, if you remember, back in 97, I started telling you about the Kyoto Accords. That was my first political policy issue to take up back when I first started the show, 97. The Kyoto Accords was going to make the United States less competitive with the rest of the world because it was going to make us take our carbon emissions back to 1990 levels. Even though 1990, our gross domestic product was half of what it is today, in 97 they wanted to take it back to 1990 levels, which we didn't sign the bill, we didn't sign the accord. No president ever got a chance to sign it. Is never given to them because the Senate beat it back 97 to nothing. Europe did sign the accords, but Giovanni, as you know, they haven't been able to comply with Kyoto. It's too onerous. Cap and trade, which you're going to explain to us in a minute, in my opinion, is like Kyoto on steroids.
Oh, absolutely.
Tell the audience what it means.
Well, basically what it is environmental regulators would establish a cap on limits of emission to a designated group of businesses, such as power plants. And that level would be lower than their current emissions. And through the permit process, they would be able to sell these permits. They would be permitted to emit a certain level of emissions, and if they were able to reduce their emissions, they'd be able to sell those permits. And it sounds, you know, it may sound good at first, but I'm going to tell you, it would put 2 million people out of work. It's going to cost every family anywhere between $1,000 and $6,000 a year annually. And it's one of the most onerous provisions. I mean, there's other ways to really implement climate change or help CO2 emissions. Number one, the first thing we could do is fund the Energy Act of 2005, which has 64 technologies, that alternative technologies that we haven't funded yet.
Right.
How are we going to reduce emissions if we don't fund the different technologies that may be out there that are necessary to reduce emissions?
And see, Giovanni, this is a fundamental issue. It's part of the debate this year in the election, folks. There are two schools of thought, folks. One school of thought is let the marketplace solve the climate issue. And the other one, school of thought, is let the government solve the climate issue. Now, how many of you know, raise your hand if you have an example of where the government has ever solved anything without creating all kinds of unintended consequences. The marketplace has created many solutions, very elegant solutions. And so as Giovanni said, if we can fund these, that energy bill, and get those new technologies, the marketplace can help us do this. But Giovanni, all cap and trade is the government looking at carbon as an opportunity to tax to create more taxes, because folks, in the cap and trade means that the government gets to charge you and me and our businesses for the privilege of producing carbon.
Oh, absolutely.
Carbon
emissions.
And they get the money, don't they?
Oh, yeah. From us, and it's an expansion of government. It's 300 mandates and regulations in the bill. If you look at our website, we have a chart that shows what this would do in the expansion of government.
Folks,
and
look for the Rube Goldberg drawing.
Oh, it's a 4-foot by 5-foot chart, and that's in 12 to 8-point font. And that shows you the expansion of government that it would take in order to implement this bill. So, I mean, it's kind of Hillary healthcare, only in the energy area rather than the healthcare area. I mean, it's just a phenomenal expansion of government, expansion in your taxes, and and bottom line is it's going to cost us competitiveness.
Here's what's at stake, folks. We got the cap and trade bill, which is going to do what Giovanni just said. We got people wanting to universalize health care. You put those two together, we might as well just lock the doors and move back into caves. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, a small business advocate, and I'll try to form an opinion about this on the other side of these messages. Stay with us.
Are we drawn toward the source, spinning at the mercy of an unrelenting force? So we stare into the
air. We're back at 7 till. Dan Fogelberg bringing us back. Late, great Dan Fogelberg from the Innocent Age album. Giovanni Cortolo is with us, folks. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. And Giovanni is director of small business policy at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Giovanni, give us your website, please.
www.uschamber.com.
It's an outstanding suite there for small business. Right there, I like the way you guys did that, Giovanni. Right there on the homepage of uschamber.com is a big, two big words right there where anybody can see it, small business. I like that.
That rings well in my heart too, Jim, I tell you.
Well, I appreciate you not hiding us. I'm glad, you know, some people, you know, it's kind of hard to find whatever they've got for us, but you guys put it right out there, small business. By golly, this is what we got for you. And they got some stuff for you there, folks, so I encourage you to go there and check them out and support their organization. You know, Giovanni just does a wonderful job for us. Giovanni, I appreciate the effort that you do, and I've been working with you now for a number of years. I know I know the sincerity of your effort, and you having been a small business owner yourself, having made a payroll, you know what it's like to be out here where we are, and folks, that's important to me, and it ought to be important to you. Giovanni, cap and trade real quickly. The scary part is we know that even though this is a Lieberman-Warner bill, which is Warner is a Republican retiring out of Virginia. This is largely a Democrat-pushed program that Obama will be for. But the scary part is my friends at CEI, it's Competitive Enterprise Institute, Myron Ebel tells me that that McCain is just as for it as anybody is.
Yeah, it has a strange mix of politicians on either side. Fortunately, this year we know we have enough to kill it in the Senate. We feel we do, where they're not going to get 60. Now, the bad news is we have headwinds in this next election against us as far as numbers and business-friendly candidates that may be elected to
the
Senate.
Well, the Democrats are going to pick up more people in the House and the Senate.
I don't see how anybody's
going to prevent that.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that's why you see a lot happening here, not a lot happening in this Congress, because most you do have a backstop with the president right now with most bad items. Next year is going to be a whole new dynamic with the Senate and with the House. And God forbid if we ever lose a pro-business Senate and get a 60-vote hurdle where a lot of bad things could pass through.
Right, right. Well, it's folks, this is why back in December I told you that this next election is going to be the most important one in my lifetime, at least. I'm still convinced of that, Giovanni. Quickly, let's move over and talk about the card check thing. What's happening with that?
Well, card check is dead for this year, but Jim, I'm going to tell you, there is a whole laundry list of issues for unions. Card check is number one on the union's issue.
This is where folks, instead of having a private anonymous ballot where you can vote however you want, nobody will know how you voted, the card check bill would actually eliminate your privacy in your vote.
Oh, you know, it's funny because a Teamster could come up to you with a card in one hand and a monkey wrench in the other and say, how do you vote? And, you know, you really have a choice there because it's not a secret ballot.
Right.
But beyond card check, there's something called mini unions. That's where the cashiers at a or the truck drivers at, a small hotel can unionize and petition the NLRB to form their own union. So, in other words, you'd have a union of five truck drivers within a business of, say, 20, and you'd have to deal with them as a mini-union.
When I hear you talking about these things, Giovanni, you know what I think about? I think about the United States becoming like Europe. These kinds of things we're talking about, cap and trade, universal health care, card check, mini unions, all that stuff. Folks, we're trying to become like Europe. And guess what, folks? When our economy was growing at 3% and 4%, their economies were growing at 0.5% with this kind of baggage that they've got. God help us if we become like Europe.
Well, it's funny because Europe wants to become more like us.
Isn't that
or
ironic?
The way we were.
Isn't that amazing? They invited one country invited me over yet last year to teach them how to be entrepreneurial.
Well,
they want to get rid of what they got, and here we are trying to make it become like them. I don't understand it, Giovanni.
No, it doesn't make sense. And unfortunately, most countries, you have 1 billion people in India and 1.3 billion in China, and they've really figured out how to be entrepreneurial in some degrees, and certainly they're outpacing us.
As Pogo once said, we have seen the enemy and he is us.
Some of these people couldn't carry our gym bags at one point.
That's exactly right. Giovanni, I got to wrap it up. I'm sorry. But we're going to get you back on a lot over the next few months, helping us understand the political issues that small business owners need to focus on. Thanks for being here. Thanks for all the good work you do.
Thank you, Jim.
See you next time. Giovanni Cortolo, ladies and gentlemen, with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.